Well, good morning. Good morning, Shepherd of the Hills. I can hear you. It is good to be here. Welcome. It's been a long time since we've been together, but we've been together online every day, and we hope you keep joining us for those devotions at 10:30 in the morning. We stream those live, and starting tomorrow, we'll be in the book of Romans, so I hope you join us for that. But we do want to welcome you to our outdoor service, and you guys can sit wherever you want. We ask don't go in front of the cameras. A couple things to just announce as we gather this morning. If you have to use the restroom, we've got these bathrooms over here are open. The red doors, just go through those. Those bathrooms there are available. These bathrooms in here are they're closed because of the equipment and stuff, but over there we've got bathrooms. We also have these offering boxes scattered around the horseshoe driveway here. If you have anything you'd like to give, you can just drop that in the top. And on these chairs are little portions of communion. And so we're going to be taking communion later. If you want to grab some of those during worship, that would be great. We are looking forward to coming back. It's going to be a good time when we do. And just so everybody knows, we've been talking about it, but our new worship schedule is going to be 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 on Sundays. And the reason we're doing that is because we have to limit the capacity in the room, and we're currently over that limit at our second service. So either we have to send people away or we give another opportunity for worship. We have to implement social distancing and all kinds of stuff to be in compliance with the governor and our leaders and to make it safe. We want people to feel safe when they come and they worship. We don't want that to be the reason they don't come and praise the Lord here. So we're going to be going to that. If you all have any questions about what's going on here at the church, I do encourage you, you can get online to our website, soth.church, and you can read all about our COVID-19 updates, what we're doing to clean the building, to mitigate spread, and make sure it's a healthy and a safe place to be. For this morning, we do have some good worship ready, and if you have not yet done it, you can download the Shepherd of the Hills app to your cell phone. You can also get online from your phone, and on our digital bulletin, which is both on our website and on the app, you'll be able to get the song list with the lyrics so that you can sing along if you don't already know the words. And so we have that going on. A lot of good stuff happening here at the church. We'll talk about it a little bit in just a moment. But I wanted to open with a verse from Psalm 150. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And so we will praise the Lord. We invite you to stand as we do that this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. As Colin said, the words to the songs that we're singing are on our digital bulletin this morning. We're kind of hoping that we'd be back together for Easter, but that didn't happen. But that's not going to stop us from praising the Lord. And He is risen. He is risen indeed. So would you join us as we sing this morning, "The Days of Elijah"? These are the days.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion till salvation comes."
These are the days of Ezekiel.
And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are white in your word, and we are the laborers in the vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, out of Zion till salvation.
Behold, he comes,
behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, out of Zion till salvation comes. Lift your voice, hear a jubilee, out of Zion till salvation.
Lift your voice,
comes. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, out of Zion till salvation.
One more time,
comes. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, out of Zion till salvation.
Father to the fathers.
Father to the fatherless, defender of the weak, freedom for the prisoner, we sing. This is God in his holy place. This is God clothed in love and strength. Sing out, lift your voice and cry out. Awesome is our strong God, mighty is our God.
You're with us, Lord.
You're with us in the wilderness, faithful to provide. Every step and every step. Your hands and
just take a few moments and lift these things, lift everything we can up to him this morning. Lord God, we just thank you so much, so gracious that we can be here together this morning. Those spread out, we're together. And even those that aren't able to be here physically, we know that you're with them and that we're all here in this together and that we're worshiping you this morning. We thank you so much for the ability to do that. In your name we pray.
My foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the world, I will not fear the storm.
Trouble surrounds.
Trouble surrounds me. Chaos abounding. My soul will rest in.
Yes, we rest in you.
I will not fear the world. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. From the Lord.
We lift our eyes to you this morning.
I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord.
You are great, Lord. You are awesome.
You give life to this man.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give love, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life.
You give life. You are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
Amen. Would you please be seated? Gracious Father, it is a blessing to be gathered together, to be able to sing praises to your name, to worship you, to glorify you, to give you all the honor and praise. Father, you are an amazing God. Your love is never ending. Father, we thank you for your love and grace and mercy. Father, we're so thankful once again that we can be out in your creation singing praises to your name this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So it's great to be gathered together. We're pretty well spread out here. It's great to be gathered together. And kids, normally this is our mystery box. And normally you come to the front. I'm going to have the kids stay where you're seated. I know my kids are in the back over there. It would take them about 5 minutes to get here and 20 to get back. So kids are welcome to stay where you are. We're going to have our mystery box inside here. I don't know what this is, but it's going to remind me of Jesus somehow. See, everything in life should remind us of Jesus. Jesus is the good news. This is our good news mystery box. So let's see how whatever this is reminds me of Jesus. Okay. We have a wonderful clothes hanger here. Now, show of hands out there, who uses these at home? Anybody? Nearly everybody. That's good. Okay. We all like to hang up our clothes. I tend to not do that very well sometimes. But I have found from growing up, I don't know if you did this when you were a kid or a teenager, when you would wear dress clothes, if you would take your clothes off and you leave them on the floor, what tends to happen to them? They get wrinkled, all right? And when I was a teenager, they would get wrinkled and smell really bad, all right? So we have these coat hangers here, and your life is kind of like this coat hanger, all right? So think about your life for a second. Look back on everything. I'm waiting for that motorcycle. There we go. So think about your life for a second, all right? You've had a lot of experiences in your life. You started off as a little kid. You grew up. You became a teenager. You became a young adult. You became an adult. You might have had kids of your own. Now, in life, when you're going through life, if you don't have God or Jesus, all right, it's kind of like leaving your life or your clothes laying on the floor. I mean, they're still clothes. They're still functioning. They still work. But in reality, they're not as good as they could have been. You're missing the point. You're missing God. You're missing Jesus. Your life isn't as good as it could have been. So I want to encourage you, when you see these coat hangers, think about your life. Recognize that your clothes on the coat hanger are like your life following after Jesus. All right, it's going to stay nice. Now, you're going to have some issues, and your clothes might not stay perfect. But the reality is your clothes are going to be a lot better on the coat hanger than if they weren't. All right, kids, so I want to ask you guys now, if you don't mind folding your hands and closing your eyes and bowing your heads, we're going to pray to God. Gracious Father, I do thank you for this morning once again. I thank you for the kids that you have here at Shepherd of the Hills. I pray, Lord, that they can know you, grow to know you. God, I'm so thankful that our lives have you in them. Father, that you are the one who, when we stand before you in judgment, that we'll be righteous and clean because of what your son did on the cross all those years ago. And Father, I ask that you would watch over us as we are here this morning, as we leave from here, that you would protect us. Father, that we could be lights for you, that we could show your love to our community, to our friends, to our family, to those who we meet. Father, once again, thank you for your love. Amen. All right, now Pastor Collins here. We're going to have some announcements. Just as a reminder, if you did not grab one of the communions, if you want to grab one of those, now is the last chance to get it. So I would encourage you to grab one of those now.
Well, good morning. It is good to see you all and welcome as we're gathering our communion. Just a couple of things to remind everybody about. Again, remember our 10:30 devotions every day. We have those COVID-19 masks available daily. We put some more of those up on the welcome desk, and they usually run out very quickly. But I do want to say thank you to everybody who has brought in material for that, because we've given out a whole bunch of them, and I'll share a little bit about that later in the message. Also, our food pantry ministry, I don't really know what to call it other than that. We've been receiving donations for that, so thank you for everybody who has been bringing in food and people who have donated money to that. We didn't know what to expect, and then we ran out of groceries very quickly. So we've got more in now. We've got kind of a wait list for this coming week, so that's been a real neat way that the Lord has given us to continue the ministry of the church here, even in spite of everything that's going on. If you have a Bible today, I would invite you to open it up to the book of Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. If you are able to get there, that's one book before Zechariah. And while you're doing that, I do want to share with you a couple of prayer requests that we have had come in. And we've been doing this every day. We share the prayer requests that are not marked confidential, and we ask you all to be in prayer for that. And of course, we always ask you to be in prayer for our leaders and our governor and our president and for all the folks who are trying to figure out what to do. Be in prayer for the church. Be in prayer for the people who are caught up in the midst of this whole pandemic, the people who have had their livelihoods shut down very abruptly, small business owners, people who have been displaced, and there's just a whole list of people who have been affected, not to mention the people who have been infected with this disease. We want to pray for them, pray for the medical staff, and pray for all of the family of people who have been infected with COVID-19. So please do pray for them. We have a couple of prayer requests that we want to share with you. One comes from one of our members named Patty, and she is saying that she's had she's not been feeling very well lately. And she's asking for relief from pain that she's been having, chronic pain that actually will likely need surgery to correct. So pray for her. We also have another prayer request from Les and from Linda. We all know who they are. They're members here as well. Linda is not feeling too well. She likewise has pain. She's recovering in the hospital, and we would like to pray for her as well. So pray for them. Pray for everybody who is here. I mean, thank you all for, just look around at the body of Christ. I mean, the world may be closed, but the church is very much alive. And we know from history that the more pressure is put on the church, the brighter it shines and the larger it gets. And so we are looking at that. We're watching that happen. But we do want to pray for these requests, pray for all those folks in our community, and pray for everybody around the globe that this pandemic would pass quickly. And Father, we lift that up in prayer right now. We ask prayer, Lord, for Patty and for her pain and for Linda and for her recovery. We ask, Lord, that you be with us, that you be with all of those who have been affected by this pandemic. And Father, we know that your word tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love you. And we believe that. And we have seen some of that in people and how the church has rallied. But Father, that doesn't make this any less uncomfortable. That doesn't make this any easier, any less painful. And so we just pray that it would pass quickly. We pray, Father, that you would protect those who are working in healthcare, those who are at higher risk. We thank you for those who have come out and assembled here. Lord, we pray your protection over this group. We ask that you be with us as we dedicate this time to you and open your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, we are in the book of Haggai, and we're starting a series on Sundays. It's called The New Normal, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, living with the new normal. Over the past couple of months, a lot has happened. We all know that. We see it, and it seems like every corner of our lives has been affected. Because of this coronavirus, this pandemic that has circled the world, life has come to a grinding halt. And all of a sudden, we're told things like, don't go to the store except for the bare essentials. We're told that schools will be closed indefinitely. People have been ordered to stay home. Don't gather in large groups. Make sure you have a mask on when you go outside. Meanwhile, small businesses are struggling to survive. People are desperately trying to not get sick. And the questions start coming. When will life return to normal? And even as certain places start to reopen, things like golf clubs here and parks there and a shop on this corner and a store on that corner, there is no doubt in anyone's mind that life will be different in a post-COVID-19 world. And we start to hear a phrase, the new normal, the new way of living, the new way of going about everyday life. We start hearing about things like social distancing and testing and heightened awareness about the world around us. That will most likely be what we see in the new normal. And while nobody knows for sure where it will all end, everyone knows it will not be like before. Some of these changes that we see will be permanent. And it's not all bad necessarily. It is good to have an awareness of other people who might be at risk. It's good to be considerate of the welfare of our neighbors. It's good to be thinking about how our actions affect other people. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul says, all things work together for the good of those who love God. And I think we're seeing that, especially in the church. I can tell you that from the phone calls that come in and the emails and the text messages, we are seeing more people willing to volunteer now than almost ever before. We see more prayer, more worship at home, more time with family. I was reading a particular article that said during the weeks surrounding Easter, more than two-thirds of all of America tuned into a worship service online. That's 200 million people turned toward the Lord in this time of crisis. We're seeing it happen. We're seeing people read their Bible more. We're seeing people call one another more, meeting the needs of other people more. We are seeing change in the church. And I want to encourage you not to go back to the way it was before all of that, when church was optional, when giving was secondary, when Bibles collected dust on bookshelves. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5, "For freedom Christ has set you free. Don't submit again to a yoke of slavery." In other words, don't go back to the way it was. And we want to challenge you to do that this morning, to make this your new normal. Make it a normal thing to dedicate time every day to personal devotion and prayer. Make it a normal thing to be checking on your neighbor. Make it a normal thing to be praying even when we're not sitting down at the dinner table. Make it a normal thing to get rid of stuff in your life that distracts you from the essentials of faith. Because the truth is, things will be different. Change is happening. And that can be scary for some people. That's why I've asked you to open to Haggai chapter 2 today. Because in the book of Haggai, Israel is going through a very similar kind of scenario. They're coming out of Babylon after more than 70 years in bondage. It was the war where Daniel was taken prisoner. And from then forward, about 70 years, we come to the book of Haggai. And they're finally returning to the city of Jerusalem. Only it's not the way it was when they left. It looks very different. Life is very different. Time has passed. It isn't what they remember. And a lot of people are having a hard time in Israel with the new normal. And so Haggai comes along as a prophet of the Lord, and he's trying to encourage them with everything that's going on. And one of the very first things we notice about their situation that we can probably appreciate in ours is that the past is comfortable. Notice what it says in verse 1. "In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes?" You know, it's one thing that I have noticed about people, and that is that people like remembering the former glory. We like remembering how things used to be, the good old days, as people often put it. A number of years ago, there was a song that came out from a famous country singer named Alan Jackson. The song was called "Remember When," and you might have heard it. And it's all about a guy looking back on the yesteryear of his life, remembering the good old days. I remember being a kid, and we would ride our bikes into town at morning, and we would play with friends all day long. There were no phones. There was no tracking. There was just the rule that said you had to be home before dark, and the knowledge that if you didn't make it, there was a nice leather belt waiting for you. I remember riding out early morning with nothing more than a baseball glove and a bat, meeting my friends at the baseball field with maybe a couple of dollars to grab a Coke from the grocery store on the way. And we would spend the whole day there. I remember being in seventh grade one time, and I had missed the bus to get home. And this was not the first time. In fact, it had happened a number of times. And my dad told me the next time it happened, I was going to be really sorry. Because every time I missed the bus, he had to leave work to go pick me up, which made it difficult for him in the office. Well, I went to my teacher, who I actually didn't like at the time, and she didn't much like me, and I told her what had happened. She drove me home just so I wouldn't have to tell my parents what had gone on. Imagine if that had happened today. if a teacher got caught with an underage student of the opposite gender in their vehicle without parental consent, just so the parent wouldn't know what had happened in the student's life. It's a very different time that we live in today. We like remembering the former glory. The past is very comfortable to us. But we're not living in the past, and there's nothing wrong with remembering it. The problem is when we try to force the past into the present and live as if it never changed at all. In Luke chapter 9, it says, "No one should put his hand to the plow and look backwards." You can't move forward by looking in the rearview mirror your whole time. That's one of the reasons that we say that the past is great to remember, but we can't live in it anymore. We often don't remember it very well either. Did you know that people have a natural tendency to forget pain? It's like we blot it out of our mind or something. We might remember that something hurt, but the actual painful sensation is very hard to bring to memory. We don't remember the bad as well as we do the good, and so things very often get distorted. We look at past events with rosy-colored glasses. One of the reasons presidents' approval ratings go up so high after they leave office is for that very reason. People stop remembering why it was they didn't like that person. In the book of Proverbs, it even warns us about that. It says, "Always remember what you have been taught and don't let go of it. Keep all that you have learned." I hear people talk sometimes about we need to get back to the 1950s and how things were back then because families were stronger and morals were stronger, and that's very true. It is different today than it was back then, but it's also true that infant mortality was much higher back then. Our nation was segregated back then. The threat of nuclear war existed every day back then. Workplace accidents were much higher and much more deadly back then. Women didn't usually work outside the homes, and a career for a wife was highly discouraged back then. It isn't that it wasn't good, it's that we don't necessarily remember it all. Not many people had the opportunity to go to college back then, but we don't hear about that stuff. Or I talk to Christians sometimes, and they say, well, the church needs to get back to the way it was in the first century with the apostles, the way it began. And I say, oh, you mean when Christians were hunted, when Pharisees ruled with an iron fist, when Peter was crucified upside down, when Stephen was stoned to death for professing the name of Jesus? Yeah, not for me. Not interested in reliving that part of history. I find often that people look at the past with a combination of two things, wishful thinking and a bad memory. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it says, "Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it's not from wisdom that we ask this." And yet, despite all of that, the fact remains that people love to remember the former glory. We love to idealize the past because, and it brings us to the second point, the past is comfortable, but change is inevitable. Notice it says in our passage in verse 6, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." There's an old saying that goes, the only thing constant is change. And change does happen at every level of life. It is inevitable. In Daniel chapter 2, it says he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and he sets them up because change is inevitable. One of the most difficult things we have had to experience as parents of small kids is when they grow up and they lose that kind of innocent mistakes about the way they speak. For example, our oldest son, Owen, used to refer to that red sauce as chap-up. And he would always ask at the dinner table, "Mommy, can I have some chap-up? Daddy, can I have some chap-up?" It was a very sad day when that was replaced with the word ketchup. And all of a sudden, that season had passed. That change had come. Change is inevitable. And change is a very real part of human life. And we can resist it, and we can resent it, and we can ignore it, and we can get angry and shake our fist at it and say, I'm not going to do it that way. But the fact is, it will happen regardless. Notice it says here in verse 6, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will shake all the nations in verse 7. It doesn't say I might shake the nations. It doesn't say I could shake the nations. It says I will shake the world, God says. It is a divine assurance that change will come. And so he says, I will shake all the nations. It's pretty safe to say that over the past couple of weeks, the nations have been shaken to their core. We can get bitter at that. We can get angry. And I will admit, it's quite frustrating when you want to do something and you have some elected official telling you you can't. But I want to encourage you not to let that keep you from recognizing what God is doing in the midst of it. Don't let that blind you to seeing God's glory on display. What if it was that Abraham told God no? That God said, Abraham, I want you to go to a new land that I'll show you. And Abraham said, you know, I appreciate the offer, Lord, but I know where my stores are and I grew up in that neighborhood and this is where my past is and that's where we went swimming and I like where I live. I'm not willing to go. What if it was that Moses said, yeah, Lord, I appreciate the offer to go and speak to Pharaoh and all, but I'm going to have to pass. I've been shepherding this flock for 40 years. I kind of know my place in life. I remember the way it was all the way back then. It's not for me. I appreciate the offer, but I'll pass. What if the disciples said the same thing? What if Jesus went to Peter and said, Peter, leave your nets and follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And Peter said, I appreciate it. But you know, I've been working on this career for so long, and I like my boat, and three more payments, it's going to be mine. And I just got this brand new net and this lake. Oh, it's going to be a good year, and I'm not really interested because that's going to be different. What if we tell God, no, I'm not going to do it. That's not how it's always been done. I don't like it that way. You can do that. That is your privilege. That's your right. But don't let that stop you from following what God will call you to be doing. Because that's exactly what will happen when we put up the barrier of no. Notice here it says in verse 6, I will shake the heavens and the earth. It is a definite that this change will come. And we can resist it, and we can push against it, but the fact is God will still move. I want to share with you just a little bit about what God has been doing through the ministry here at Shepherd of the Hills over the past few weeks that the world has been, quote, shut down. Between our visitation ministry and our pastors and the people calling one another, there's been more than 1,000 phone calls that have circulated our church. Our Easter service reached more than 1,000 people online. We've given out more than 100 of those COVID-19 masks with the privilege of sending more than 30 of those to a Bible college in Arizona that ministers to the Native American population. We've given out hundreds of dollars in groceries the very first week we even had that going, and we have people on the list for even more. We've had more prayer for one another than ever before. Our social media influence has expanded more than ever before. As of next Friday, I believe it is, we will have had 52 straight days of devotions. We've gone through the entire Gospel of John. We've answered questions. We've discussed heaven. We've discussed things like how we interact with God through our works and how we live out our faith. We've discussed things that you've written in and asked about. Starting tomorrow, we'll be going through the book of Romans. It's been nonstop Bible study for 50 days. I can assure you, the world may be shut down, but God is very much on the move. And if we stand in the way and we say, absolutely no, I'm not willing to go, we're going to miss out on all of that. It won't stop God from moving, but it will keep us from enjoying the blessing. It might not look the same as before. That's okay. Change is inevitable. And the third thing I want us to notice is the future is often preferable. Notice it says in verse 9, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. You know, there is an idea among people, and I find it especially true in church people, that change is inevitably bad, that it's inherently wicked, that if we do something different than we've done it before, that it must be resisted at all cost. And you hear people talk like that sometimes. They'll say, well, I can't believe the way the world has changed, and we just need to go back to the way it was before. And they paint it in a very negative way. And I find usually it's because the person is more afraid of losing something than recognizing what it is God will do next, because the past is comfortable. However, the future is often preferable, as it is here. The latter glory will be greater than the former, declares the Lord. And Jeremiah 29, he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for a future, plans for a hope. Your past will never be greater than God's plan for your future. And that doesn't mean God didn't bless the past. That doesn't mean he wasn't with us then. It doesn't mean it wasn't special. It doesn't mean it's going to be thrown away. It doesn't mean anything like that. But our God is not in the business of resurrecting the past. He's in the business of ushering in the future. That's why in the book of Revelation chapter 20, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth. That's why it says things like the former things have passed away. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing, declares the Lord. And here's why I say all of that. Don't go back to the way it was before. Don't go back to the way it was when we put God on a shelf in our heart and life. Don't go back to that. Many of you have been praying more than before. You've been in your Bibles more than before. You've been spending more time with your families than before. You've been connecting with God more than before. You've been more willing to volunteer than before. You've been giving more than before. Don't give that up. Don't go back. Make that your new normal. Keep this new sense of urgency that you've developed. Keep this new sense of devotion that's come into your life. Keep this new sense of compassion for your neighbor. Keep this new level of sacrificial love. Keep these new priorities in your life where everything but the essentials has been removed. Keep this new sense of awareness for others. Make this your new normal. And so the past is comfortable. Change is inevitable. The future is often preferable. And finally, God is capable. In other words, trust that God is capable to see you through whatever happens. Notice how it says in verse 9, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord. And so there will be a change in Israel. It will never look like it did before. But notice how it goes on, and in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord. You know, I've learned a couple of things in my walk with God. First of all, whatever God allows to happen, he will use for good in your life. And second, nothing happens that God doesn't allow. Everything that comes your way has been permitted to be there by your Heavenly Father because he has a plan to build you up. You remember the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis. He was the youngest of the 12 sons of Israel. And they hated him. And I mean his brothers reviled him. Because although he was the youngest, he had greater honor than the eldest, which was not something they would do. Their father gave more attention to Joseph than anyone else. He was the son of Rachel, the one whom Israel truly loved. And so they hated Joseph. They couldn't stand him. And then one day he gets this coat of many colors, and that sends them over the edge. And they conspire to kill him. Only one of them says, no, we'll throw him into slavery. And so they do. For 30 pieces of silver, the standard wage for a slave, they sell him to Midianite traders. And he's taken from his home against his will, and he's thrown into the service of a man named Potiphar. Only he serves with distinction. And he becomes Potiphar's head of household. He starts managing all of the affairs of the home. He's elevated to a status above every servant until one day he's falsely accused of sexual assault and he's thrown into jail. and he's left there for years. And he finally makes friends with some of his cellmates. And then they're sprung one day, and they say, "Don't worry, we won't forget you." Only they do. And then he stays there for years more. One day, Pharaoh has a dream that he can't seem to unravel, and he calls Joseph to interpret it. And Joseph is able to tell him, "Your dream means there will be 7 years of bounty followed by 7 years of need." And Pharaoh is so impressed that he elevates Joseph to second in charge of all of Egypt. And there he's able to prepare for the coming famine. Well, wouldn't you know, it happens exactly the way Joseph said it would. And one day his old brothers show up needing help. They don't recognize him right away, but he knows them. And he puts them through a series of character tests to see if their hearts have been changed. And when he learns that they truly have changed their ways, he reveals himself to them. Eventually, their father dies, and they're scared for their lives. And Joseph, who could have taken every one of their heads and put it on a stake, looks at them and says in Genesis 50, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." God has a plan for your life. And sometimes that plan means he's going to shake the heavens and the earth. He might shake your life. He might jolt you out of a comfort zone into a new land, a new way of living, a new sense of awareness. I want to encourage you not to lose heart through all of that. Trust that God is capable. Like David said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He protects me." He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." David knew that difficulty would come. He knew that hardship would come, but he believed he had a God capable of seeing him through to the other side. And I want to encourage you to remember that, to remember that God is capable. And for the person who does, for the one who settles in that promise, notice it says in verse 9, "In this place I will give peace." In Philippians 4, Paul calls it the peace that surpasses all understanding. He says it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. I want to encourage you to make that peace your new normal, to make trusting God with your future your new normal. Don't go back to the worry. Don't go back to the anxiety. Don't go back to the indifference. Make this your new normal. Let go of all of those things. Trust the Lord to see you through and receive the peace that he promises. "And in this place I will give peace," declares the Lord of hosts. And let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the peace that you offer. We thank you, Lord, that regardless what we may face here in this world, nothing catches you off guard. Even a pandemic that shuts down the most powerful economy the world has ever seen is within your everyday control. Lord, we know that you use all of these things to the good, and we know that you are orchestrating your plan for a future and for a hope. And so we pray that we would trust you in that we would walk in that. We pray, Father, that these new burdens that you've given us for one another and for Bible study and for growing in our faith and for prayer and connecting with our family, that these would become the new status quo in our heart. We pray that we would dedicate our lives to serving you, that we would remove everything that is non-essential. We pray, Father, that we would persevere, that we would trust, and we pray for your peace that you will give in this place, a peace you provide in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's a peace that was won for you on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. We have these little portable communions, and just so you know, these are going to become kind of the standard for when we come back, at least for the foreseeable future, because this is not open food. You don't have to worry about being contaminated. As you can tell, this is sealed from the factory. We're going to do everything we can to make it safe, and so I know it's not the most pleasant piece of styrofoam to be chewing on, but it's safe, and it allows us to worship and to remember the Lord, and that's really what matters. And so I want to encourage you for a moment to pray, because the Bible tells us to do this in remembrance of the Lord, but the Apostle Paul says, before you do, you should examine yourself. Search yourself. What is it that you have that might come in between you and a worship of the Lord? These are worrisome days, and there's no doubt that there's a lot on our minds. We want to give that to God, and we'll pray. We'll give you a minute, then we'll close. And Father, we do pray, and we do come to you, and we believe, Lord, we believe that you are able, that you are capable, that you are mighty, that you're powerful. We pray, Lord, that you would remind us of that. We ask if there's anything on our hearts right now, anything in our minds, anything circulating through that might get in the way, anything that would distract our attention from you and from this time of worship. Anything that would pull us away from embracing what Jesus has done for us and the freedom that he won for us and the peace that he won for us and the future that he won for us. Anything like that, Lord, that would take us away, we pray that you would block from our minds. The virus will still be there. The problems will still be there. But right now, Lord, we want to come into your presence without those worries, without those distractions, without those non-essentials in our faith. We pray, Father, this would be the first day of our new normal in our walk with you, that you would be with us, that you would guide us, that you would give us the peace in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room on the night that he was betrayed, he picked up a loaf of bread and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." And then afterwards, he picked up the cup of blessing and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant and it's poured out for you. As often as you eat of this bread or drink of this cup," he says, "do it in remembrance of me." I would rather be nowhere else right now than here with you all remembering what our Lord did for us that gives us the peace to go through this trial. And so we want to remember that. I do want to encourage you. This wafer, this is the body of Christ. Please take and eat. When Jesus went to the cross, his body was beaten and his blood was shed, and he died a death in place of ours. So that when we come to things like we're dealing with right now, we know that although it may be challenging, this is not the end. This is not our final destiny. We know that our God has won the victory in our lives, and we trust in that. And Jesus said, "As often as you drink of this, remember what he did to bring us that." And so please take and drink. And let's pray again. Lord, this has been a wonderful time. We thank you for this opportunity to gather and to worship. We thank you, Lord, that whatever may be happening in the world around us, you are still on the throne. You have not been moved. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And we know, Lord, there will be trial and there will be difficulty, but we know ultimately you have already won. And so we rest in that victory. And we look to you for the peace that you promise in our passage this morning. Although change may be difficult, we know that you have a plan and you will see us through it. We thank you for that. We thank you for the time that we have together today. And we pray that you would bless us, that you would keep us safe as we go home from here into a new normal. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please rise as we close our service with a song of praise?
Father to the fathers, Father to the fatherless, defender of freedom for the prisoner, we sing. This is God in his holy place. This is God clothed in love and strength.
Father, we do lift our arms in praise and our voices and our hearts. And we pray that you would be with us as we go from here. We thank you for the wonderful opportunity and for the weather. What a beautiful day. A slight breeze. It's warm. Father, you have provided all of this for us. And we gladly give you this time as we come together. Be with us, Lord. We pray that you would see us through this time as we know you will. Give us the faith and the peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. God bless you all.